two friends taking pictures of the rising full moon on a summer night.
Two teenage kids doing what teenage kids do.
When a stranger with a gun and a death wish changed everything.
It was violent, it was senseless, and I will never understand it, I will never accept it.
I'm Amy Donaldson, and unfortunately, we're all too familiar with stories about how violence shatters lives. But what we rarely see is how they are rebuilt. In a new podcast, The Letter, we relive tragedy, but only so we can hear the rest of the story. The struggle to reclaim lives, the realities of grief, and the possibilities of forgiveness.
I believe in miracles. Sometimes I thought, there are no miracles. Yeah, there are, and this is a big one.
Follow The Letter at theletterpodcast.com or wherever you get your podcasts.
Utah's best athletes count on flexibility, speed, strength.
And the Jazz pick up their 22nd assist.
So they count on University of Utah Health.
Brielle Soleil puts this game away.
And so can you. Leading doctors, a world-class environment, award-winning innovation, care to be great.
14 unanswered by the Utes.
University of Utah Health, caring for Utah's best and yours. Schedule your appointment now at uofuhealth.org/care to be great.
KSL's unrivaled, the teams you live for, the sports you love. Scott Mitchell and Alex Keery on KSL News Radio.
All right, everybody, welcome on in. It is KSL's Unrivaled, another edition of the program. Thanks for being with us. Alex Keery over here. Scott Mitchell, former NFL quarterback and University of Utah great, over there, socially distant.
And I still hate Michael Jordan, and I still think he pushed off, and I'm mad at him. I don't like the guy.
Bad time for Jazz fans these days who were living through the Last Dance together. Look, they do this alone together thing, and for Utah Jazz fans, it's been infuriated together. Just like watching the Last Dance and watching Michael Jordan. As you were saying, I think at one point it was like, yeah, look, they can say whatever they want now. And just kind of rewrite history and say, oh, here's how I was feeling, or here's what I said at the time, whatever. Jazz fans, still not champions. But hey, good couple runs there in the finals of 97-98. Yeah. Joining us right now on the program, he is the athletic director of the University of Utah, and he is Mark Harlan. Thanks for being on the program again here with us, Mark.
No, appreciate having the opportunity to talk to you guys. Hope all is well.
It is, and we're kind of going along with everybody else. And the big question is, we hope you're doing okay. We know that, you know, everybody's going through strange times, and the biggest thing, sports has been such a weird deal because it was the first to be stopped. It was the first thing to just kind of stop the world, and it will likely be one of the last things that sort of comes back to quote-unquote normal. What does normal sound like for you when it comes to athletics coming back to college?
Well, that's a great question. You know, the one thing I've learned in this whole experience is, you know, making too many predictions on what might be. It just seems like every couple of weeks there's more data, and lately it's been positive data, so that's been nice to be a part of. But obviously, for me, normal will be returning to another year of sold-out football and packed crowds in all our facilities. That will be the normal. The question is, how long will it, you know, take us to get there? But in the interim period, we're planning a lot of different scenarios and getting prepared for whatever may come.
In talking to Coach Whittingham last week, he mentioned this, that you need a 6-week window to kind of lead up to the season. So is that kind of how you work your planning, where you say, all right, the best case scenario is mid-July, and then that gives us a September start. But then if we have to go out a month, then it's an October start, and then who knows what it is. And so is when you say you're planning for all these contingencies, is that kind of how it works? And then you maybe modify your schedule, you change things. What does that look like?
Yeah, and that really is the first step in all of this process. Is if you look at our fall sports, you know, what will it take for he or she, depending on the sport, to be able to come back in the most healthful way and to be able to compete at the elite level that our conference is in. So on the subject of football, the Pac-12 created a subcommittee group of which I was asked to be a part of, along with all folks that oversee football, and then Coach Shaw was on that committee as well, or is on that committee. And that group worked hours and hours to come back with a plan that really did center between 6 to 8 weeks, kind of a mixture of OTA, Scott, which of course you're familiar with,
right,
and working its way up to a full camp environment. So we submitted those plans as a conference to the Football Oversight Committee, which is the national group that has members of all the conference, which I'm also on that committee as well.
So you reported to yourself then?
It's very strange. As I say,
it's a conflict of sports interest.
Right off the bat, we have a conflict of interest. That went forward, and then that committee then, you know, blessed kind of a 6-week type model, and that now is being reviewed by the medical folks. So long story short, I think 6 weeks, Scott, to your point, will emerge, I think here formally in the next 2 weeks. Now, prior to that, what's right upon us is this first step that needs to be taken, which is the actual reopening of athletic facilities across the country.
Mm-hmm.
June 1 is the date that, if the current prohibition isn't expanded, June 1 would then allow for schools that are in regions, states, counties, what have you, that are able to have that kind of activity to be able to do that. And this is strictly volunteer workout, non-coach workout. So, you know, that's the logical first step. That's important because, again, if you're able to do that and other schools will come online at different times, then really that 6 week or maybe even 4 week could work as long as you have some work done going into it. So we're going to find out probably by the end of the week if June 1 will allow us to open up. It may be pushed back, maybe mid-June, maybe later. But we're going to be ready. We've been working really hard at the University of Utah to have our facilities to be open on a very limited basis, volunteers surrounded by trainers and strength coaches to go into this very slowly. But we're starting to see, you know, that activity heat up, and we're looking forward to hopefully getting to that place.
Let's talk about a little bit of what you're hearing from the conference itself. I know that Larry Scott, California is in its own, you know, every state. That's the thing, is we're dealing with a lot of states and a lot of different directives from, you know, the executive leadership of each of those states and medical directors in each of those states, and as well as the federal level, trying to figure all those things out in concert with opening a season up. So with Governor Gavin Newsom in California and Larry Scott also in California, what do you hear from the conference as to how they're going to start things up? And I know that because California has been a little bit more strict in this, what are they looking at and what are you hearing from the conference when it comes to getting things going?
Well, the one thing about our conference is from the moment this all really started, when we were all gathered in Las Vegas for the men's basketball tournament till all the way up until today, there's been a very collaborative approach with conference leadership and with the athletic directors and coaching groups. We have met more in this period than probably my entire career as far as being in the Pac-12 at UCLA, Arizona, and now here at Utah. I mean, it started off with 5-day-a-week AD calls with Commissioner Scott and his team. Now we meet twice a week in the morning on calls. So it is a collective effort to be aligned and try to move forward in this all together. And like I said, there's these different steps, the volunteer workout step, then it comes to the formalized piece of camp, football camp, and the other sports. So, you know, I would say that we all recognize our footprint, which is vast, with different county measures. I mean, all of us were excited to see Governor Newsom's announcement yesterday that, you know, we'd also seen previous that the Lakers were looking like they were going to start working out. So I think you start to see now with data getting more favorable that, and also a lot of shared practicing about how a student athlete or perhaps even a professional athlete can come into a setting and work out, following what the NBA is doing and those things. So I think all of that's starting to come together. You know, we obviously have a great hope that by the time we get to July, we can all kind of trigger that 6 weeks, Scott, that you referred to earlier, and go into the season. Now, will fans be able to be there? I guess it just depends on the region you're at and how the data looks at that particular time. We just don't have any idea today how that will look, certainly in September.
All right, we're going to come back to our second part of our interview with Athletic Director of the University of Utah, Mark Harlan. Interesting stuff, too. Scott, you get into the BYU-Utah game It's an important question to the folks here.
It is. You know, we've liked it being at the beginning of the season, and now because it's at the beginning of the season, could be a target for being canceled.
So what about other games, or how many games, or Pac-12 only schedule, or cutting other athletic programs, other things we've talked to Mark Harlan about? You don't want to miss it. Coming up, part two of our interview with Mark Harlan today. Stay with us right here on KSL's Unrivaled.
Two years ago, Americans watched in horror as a crisis unfolded at the Kabul airport.
There's desperation and anguish.
More than 80,000 Afghans have since arrived in America, but this story is still unfolding. I'm Andrea Martin. In my new podcast, Stranger Becomes Neighbor, we'll find out what happens to these new arrivals in our communities. Who would help our newest neighbors? Follow us at KSLpodcast.com, Apple Podcasts, or anywhere else you listen.
All right, welcome back to KSL's Unrivaled. Scott Mitchell, Alex Curie here. In the middle of a coronavirus, we're finding that sports is slowly, slowly finding its way back into
the Bundesliga.
Yes. And there's marble racing, and there's UFC fighting, and,
hey,
and we're talking
NASCAR,
about
some
NASCAR,
golf.
Some golf's happening. Sports is on its That's way right. back. And, of course, Mark Harlan, and he's talking about, you know, some of the data that they're receiving, and everything's data-driven in all of this, and they're talking that the data looks good.
Yeah, one of the
looks
things...
like they might be able to move forward.
And one of the things that, Scott, we jump into right here in our second part was that question that I think a lot of folks are wondering about, that BYU-Utah game, September 3rd, a Thursday, kicking off the season. I think for a lot of folks who just look at it and go, yeah, there's no way... But there's a glimmer of hope in there, at least in Mark Harlan's answer. Take a listen.
So we've heard a lot of different things about schedules, and you know, of course, here in the state of Utah, the BYU Utah game is a big game to a lot of fans. It's the first game of the season, and it seems like is do you see that this game gets played? Is this game in jeopardy? And if it, you know, how do you feel about if there aren't fans in the stands? I mean, does that hurt revenue?
Well, I mean, obviously the first game for Utah is a big game, just like it is for BYU. And my hope is that, you know, it is played on time. I mean, that's really what we're planning for. You know, obviously, again, our medical professionals and the data will guide what makes sense. You know, your second question is, will it have fans? I mean, that's, again, we don't know. Certainly, if there are limitations on fans or if there are no fans, there's no question that's a revenue hit. But, you know, we're going to go with what the local officials decide is best and what doctors believe is smart, and deal with the revenue matters as they come. At University of Utah, we've certainly had a lot of sellouts. It's about $17 million. You know, our football ticket holders generate for us each year. We're right around the 86% to 87% renewal rate. We just passed our deadline last week, and typically our renewal rate goes up after that deadline. So we anticipate being in the 90s. So we're very hopeful our fans can be there, but we also are realistic that we have to plan for that not to happen. But I really believe that if the data continues to hold and we continue to see good numbers and people make great decisions between now and then, that we'll play that football game. And Tom Holman and I have talked quite a bit. We've been sharing best practices with each other. And, you know, certainly our hope is that we play that game.
Are broadcast radio broadcasting groups going to be
allowed
in the stadium? This is for a friend.
Usual, the last thing we'll address is our friends in the media.
Yeah, okay. Very last thing that we'll have to address. Mark Harlan joins us here on KSL's Unrivaled. What about from your – I know you've seen all across the country the other things that other athletic programs in other conferences, in other schools, and sometimes, you know, in some of the subdivisions of the NCAA when it comes to, you know, being in these smaller schools. But we certainly all look at some of these schools that have made really tough decisions about cutting sports. What have you guys talked about as an athletic department of where it goes, okay, we're looking at a real – shortfall here for the rest of the sports if football's not to go off according to schedule, because you have to have a contingency when it comes to those things, I feel like, as well.
Yeah, like any business, you know, that's going through this incredibly difficult period, you know, a big part of that is planning for whatever might come. And so we're in budget season now for next year. We're obviously blessed with the gift that keeps on giving, which is being a part of the Pac-12 conference and having strong revenues. You know, this fiscal year, we're going to be able to finish, you know, right where we would normally be based on, again, our great support that we have here, along with, you know, some reserves from the conference that will be able to be spread out amongst the 12. As you go into next fiscal year, you know, I joke that at one point I think I had 18 different budget scenarios that my poor CFO, Steve Smith, who I know Scott knows well, you know, every time I think he saw my name on the phone, I noticed that he used to answer on the first ring, and then he would
answer like
on
third.
The ring. He's like, oh, Harlan's got another scenario he wants to dream up. But that's what we're doing. We're going through different scenarios. And listen, you know, when you start getting to those tough scenarios of no football or limited football, certainly it's very challenging. I mean, it's a huge revenue piece at Utah and every other school. And without it, you know, you are really forced to look at the whole enterprise and say, well, how do we do this? But I've really decided at this point is we're going to really focus in on kind of a soft type budget that may have limited fans, right, depending on what we can do, and see where that kind of leads us. And we're in the middle of that process now. But, you know, without question, you know, our collegiate athletic model is based on football revenue. And if you don't have it, you're really up against a lot of tough decisions. But we're going to wait and see how this all plays out.
Clay Helton at USC was on a call a couple of weeks ago, talked about possibly having just a Pac-12 schedule. And as I thought through this personally, I kind of liked it. In fact, I liked it across the board with other conferences, and it was talked about as maybe a temporary solution. How much discussion have you had about that? And do you see that as maybe something? I know it's, you know, it could be a scenario in the short term, but could you ever see it being a long-term scenario for the conference?
Yeah, I mean, I think basically what we're looking at in that working group that I mentioned, and then the ADs review the work output every Friday on what that group has, is you kind of start looking at the season and say, okay, if you lose that first week and then you lose that second week, and now you get into that third week, and this is primarily, with a couple exceptions, all non-conference time of year, certainly is for Utah, then, you know, how do you really, you know, how do you really get those games back? I mean, you can look at the backside of the schedule, but then those teams have to line up, and it's like a big jigsaw puzzle to be able to do that. So, you know, you look at that because everyone wants to save non-conference games. I mean, look at some of the games. We talked about BYU. We've got, I think, Ohio State, you know, against Oregon. I think they're coming to Eugene. I mean, there's some monster games. We all want to try to save them, but you also have to say, well, if this thing does delay us and we have to delay the start of the season, you have to figure out a way to get going at the end of September. And the second piece that's really important is, how do you have every conference member at least have five home games, right? Getting back to revenue. So that really gets into kind of that 9-10 game model. Coach Elton, who has been terrific, every Thursday we meet with all the football coaches. Witt is the dean in there. He sits there with that new beard he's got cooking.
He's looking like the dean.
he's the dean of all the guys in there. And
I'm come and kiss the ring, just, please. Everybody pay your respects.
Like one of those guys, when he talks, everyone shuts up.
Oh, yeah.
Awesome deal.
Shoot, when he talks, I shut up.
That's pretty rare.
So he's in there. But really, you know, we're talking about more 10-game. I don't know. We have not really gotten into 11-game model, because if you get into 11, you're in essence pretty much playing your whole season. So we've been looking at 9 and 10-game models primarily, but we certainly have contingency plans ready to roll.
What's the – I've heard I think everything is based on – I've heard rumblings of, and one of the things that was discussed was the possibility of playing games in colder weather climates is a concern too, because of how the virus has acted in cold weather versus – hot, dry weather. Is the possibility of Arizona games or kind of Arizona-centered games been talked about?
We have not gotten into that specifically, but this is one of those that I put in the category that we might, right? We have these 12 incredible universities, and out of this whole process has been these unbelievable medical professionals and this new committee we put forward. You know, just, I mean, these people are just unrivaled in their knowledge. And, you know, if they start coming with us with that kind of a concept, then, you know, because of all our communication and collaboration, I think we can make certain adjustments as necessary. But that specifically has not been something that we've talked about yet.
Mark Harlan, Athletic Director, University of Utah, joining us here on KSL's Unrivaled. And we're not just going to have this, of course, on the air as you're hearing it, but we'll put it up just like we do all of our segments on the podcast as well. Mark, we appreciate you being real forthright with us about all this. And I know we're all kind of wading through this together. And I know you have a million people in your ear about, when are we going to see it? What are we going to see? What's it going to look like? The reality is, we don't know exactly yet, so we appreciate you coming in and giving us a little bit of a clearer picture on how you guys are making those processes and those decisions. So we appreciate being on the program.
Thanks for inviting me, guys. Look forward to talking to you guys soon.
All right, coming back, more to go right here on KSL's Unrivaled. News, traffic, and weather here at the bottom of the hour. Stay right here with us on KSL News Radio.
Two years ago, Americans watched in horror as a crisis unfolded at the Kabul airport.
She was tear-gassed and beaten.
Images of thousands desperate to escape Taliban oppression filled our news feeds. More than 80,000 Afghans made it to America. But the story didn't end there.
It was very cold. There was no power, no heat.
Who would help our newest neighbors? I'm Andrea Smartin. In Stranger Becomes Neighbor, you'll hear the stories of some remarkable refugees who left their homes and their dreams behind, only to start over from zero.
Their only possession was three blankets.
And you'll meet Americans who stepped up to help them.
You want me to come when you deliver your baby.
What can one person do in the face of an international disaster decades in the making? That's Stranger Becomes Neighbor. Find us at kslpodcast.com. Follow us on Apple Podcasts or anywhere else you listen.